So I just finished my fantasy football season, and I didn't win this year, but I also didn't come in last place. You know, by losing, and I have my name etched into the loser trophy twice now, I'm learning what I shouldn't be doing in order to win. You know, one of the joys of this armchair sport is scouting around, trying to read up and learn about all of these different players and all the different parts of the football league, figure out which ones complement my team the best, which ones I can maybe trade for. And this makes many people in this armchair sport experts on particular players and all sorts of the minutiae of their professional and even their personal lives. If you know ahead of time somebody's going to be indicted, you don't put him on your team. You don't play him that week if he's going to jail. So it helps to know a lot about these guys. But by the end of our fantasy season, all of my opinions, my player choices, and winning strategies mean nothing. You know, the virtual team that I have built and worked on for several months is finished. That is over. It doesn't mean anything going forward. But there's even another form of this armchair sport called a dynasty football league. In this one, you retain your players from year to year, and you have to live with your choices, which can lead to years of success or years of failure. Now, I don't have the desire nor the time to play the latter. I want to be able to invest a minimal amount of time in order to have the most fun in this activity while playing it with my coworkers and some friends. And that's a fine approach for an innocuous activity like fantasy football. But, you know, it's amazing to see that exact same approach used to form something, the foundations for something that is truly meaningful, truly important, and that is religion. And one of the coworkers I play this game with recently was ordained a minister. Not by the laying on of hands through his church elders, but by them signing a piece of paper and giving it to him. And he said it really didn't have the same meaning in his organization as maybe a pastoral ordination, but his church was fine with giving it out to him in order to him to perform a wedding for his friends. Which made me question, well, what importance does that church place on the sacredness of marriage? If anybody can give that out, if anybody can come in within their group, I guess, and achieve this piece of paper, do they really put much emphasis on the sacredness of that of the marriage? And my coworker also, at one point, grew his hair out halfway down his back, and he professes by many Christian values, but doesn't really necessarily live by all of those encompassing values that fulfill this book, this Bible that we are to use as a handbook. And really, he's not that much different than many professing Christians today, the vast majority of people who call themselves Christian in this world. You know, building their religion like I built my fantasy football team, picking and choosing what appeals and rejecting what causes offense. Well, you know, this approach will never gain us spiritual victory. Picking and choosing what we think God would want us to do, what we think feels good, will not achieve true and lasting victory. True and lasting, that crown that we all strive after for eternal life. You know, Satan, as we know, rules this world, and no path that leads to eternal salvation will be painless, will be easily attained. Satan will see to it that it's not. You know, the failure of mankind without God, and even mankind that knows, that has known God, comes down to a central point of failure, and that is a godly foundation. Anything built upon or less upon than a godly foundation will lead ultimately to destruction. It will not stand the test of time. it will not lead to that spiritual understanding, spiritual perfection. We must lay foundations that last then. Foundations that form a dynasty for us. One that we can't walk away every year or whenever we feel like it. One that we have to stick with year after year, and that can lead to success or can lead to failure, depending on how we build that foundation. And that kind of foundation takes resolute, and it takes time and effort to build. Solomon knew of this. 2 Chronicles chapter 8. Second Chronicles in chapter 8 and starting in verse 1. And it came to pass at the end of 20 years when Solomon had built the house of the Lord and his own house. So 20 years we begin with. We knew it took Solomon to build this house of the Lord. And skipping down to 16. Now all the work of Solomon was well ordained from the day of the foundation of the house of the Lord until it was finished. So the house of the Lord was completed. So we knew it took 20 years. And it was planned. It had structure, the work that he was doing. It was well ordered. It wasn't just chosen little bits and pieces. He wanted to scrabble together some temple so that he could get it completed. It took years to reach that goal. And he built on a preparation of his father as well, who gathered resources for this temple. This took effort to build an earthly foundation for God's temple. You know, the fact that we are coming before God on his Sabbath day proves that we have built our religion on a lasting foundation. We are structuring what we believe and what we profess on a good foundation. And those that don't, that didn't, maybe, that have gone back into the world, choosing instead the easy and the painless approach to this religion, prove that they seek after a God that isn't lasting, a God whose rule will soon be taken away. You know, if we start the building of this foundation and we don't finish, we become a mockery of godliness. Luke 14. I think this every time I annually check my social media and see friends and pictures that I went to Ambassador with that are now keeping Christmas. Luke 14 and verse 28. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build but was not able to finish. You know, when we come up, or when we came up out of our watery grave as a new man and a new woman, our choice has been made. Our dynasty was set for life. We chose to follow after God, to lay and to build a foundation upon that. And we have one choice, having been baptized. We have one direction we can head. In Hebrews 6, beginning in verse 4. We have no other option than to follow and to go forward. Hebrews 6 and verse 4. For it is impossible for those who are once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift, you and I, brethren, and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted that good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew themselves again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to open shame. And that's the danger that we all have to keep in the head of our thoughts when we see our foundation maybe crumbling a little bit, when we aren't building it up as we should, that it's not just us. We are putting Christ and his sacrifice to shame if we walk away from this. You know, finding an easy path by accepting satanic teachings, worldly teachings, leads only to death. There's only one direction it heads, and it's not towards the path of godliness. And we know that God will not be mocked. We receive what we put into our religion. Galatians 6. In verse 7. Galatians 6 and verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Brethren, that is the crux of what we are doing. We must be willing to put into this life that which leads us to eternal salvation. You know, the pull to choose our own path will always be present in each and every one of our lives while Satan rules this world. Because that is his great lie. And it works. He wants us to choose our own way. He wants us to ignore God's way. You know, godly religion isn't a game, brethren. If we truly want to win this imperishable crown that we all strive after, then we must be willing to sacrifice everything in order to obtain it. Christ did.